Welcome back to another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast. I'm Brian with Max and Anthony from Texas Blues Alley. And today we talk about how to set up your amplifier when you're playing on stage so you don't kill the front of the audience, the people in front of you. And we also demonstrate and talk quite a bit about how to set a clean tone up with pedals. So with that, let's get right into the show.
The question we receive is, what is the best way to set your stage amp to fill the venue without killing the front row?
Well, we had discussed a couple different options. Mm-hmm. You mentioned tilting the amp.
That's one way.
Back. Mm-hmm. The downside of that is that sometimes that can make it hard to concentrate when you're playing, because now the amp is pointed right at your head, essentially. And it is really hard to get a tone that you like when you're looking right at the speaker. So maybe an angle somewhere between what would be hitting people in the crowd and mm-hmm. what would be hitting your ear, somewhere in between there might be a happy medium. But I don't know if you guys have ever tried it, but I've actually used the ClearSonic shields that go around it. Mm-hmm. Those, you can get them clear. I think Joe Bonamassa has a signature one that is just clear. Mm-hmm. And that... That can really cut down your volume. Those are actually useful for recording as well, because you can get them with acoustical panels on the inside so that it deadens it a little bit, so mm-hmm. you don't get a lot of boominess inside the cage while you're recording. But the problem with those is that they're almost too good, in the sense that let's say you have what feels like an appropriate level of stage volume with your amp without anything around it. You put one of those barriers in front of it now. I mean, he mentioned just turning down the treble. Sounds like it sucks the life out of your tone. You put a plexiglass shield around it, it's going to sound very, very muffled.
Yeah.
So then, really, you have to be miking it with a PA and feeding it back through the monitors. And then you're kind of at the mercy of the sound man or your in-ears to get a good level. And so if you're going to do that, you got to spend the time to get the mix just right, because when you're in the middle of playing, you don't want to be thinking about, you know, oh, my amp sounds tinny or it sounds muffled or something like that. So there are ways around it, but those are just two that we had talked about before. I don't know if you guys have any other. Have you ever used the beam mm-hmm. blocker or something like that?
I don't know if I've used the beam blocker, the Weber thing.
Right? Yeah, I think Visual Sound sell something like that? Is that like a hubcap?
Yeah, is that like the Visual Sound thing? Yeah. It's supposed to disperse the
They'll
sound?
They'll sell that, well, True Tone now is what their name is.
Right.
But I never tried that before, but.
I played with a few.
Yeah, I mean, it does disperse the sound a little bit, but I still didn't really quite care for it. Like, I don't know. It just had a weirdness
to it. Like
you
lost some of your sparkle?
I mean, it's just, I don't know how to explain it. It just didn't sound natural to me.
That's straight on. I mean, what's going on here is basically when the amp's pointed at the crowd, the reason he turns his treble up is because, you know, the speaker's pointing down here past your knees.
Right. It's hitting the back of your legs.
It's hitting the back of your legs. And your ears are all the way up here. And, you know, bass frequencies are very unidirectional. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be standing behind the amp and you'd still hear the bass. But the high frequencies are very directional. And when they're coming out, especially the real center of the speaker there, I mean, they come out like a lightning bolt, and whoever happens to be sitting in the crowd right in front of the amp, they're just getting... Honestly, it wouldn't matter what you set your amp at. If somebody's sitting right in front of the amp, it's going to be hard for them to really have a good time. But you can get a really nice kind of ambient sound when you're standing over your amp, and you get the tone just set just right. So, you know, this person is setting it so it sounds right to them standing in front of the amp, but it's hitting the person right in the face in the front row there. And it's because of the directional nature of the higher frequencies coming off the speaker. It's going right to them.
And Max, you were talking about that you like to sometimes set your amp like turned a different direction.
Yeah, I've actually flipped my amp all the way around, or speakers, you know, the back of the speakers are facing the crowd. And like especially smaller clubs, or I play one club where it has like glass and brick. So everything's like real bouncy anyway. So I just flip it all the way around and it works.
Does it bounce off the window?
Not too much. It's an old single-pane window. It just kind of filters through, so it's not too bad,
Are they, when you flip the amp around like that, is that when you're playing through a PA system, or do you play with just the amp by itself?
Just amp by itself, if I can, yeah. Like, yeah. I played it that way at a club that was mic'd up. It's one of those clubs where they didn't need to be mic'd up.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, if I'm playing a really small club and I just have like my super, it's just moving a lot of air, so I'll flip it around and just so I don't kill everybody in the first two rows.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I know I've definitely played with people before who will... they'll compensate for, you know, like they'll turn the treble up and everything, so whenever they're in front of the ramp it sounds good, but when you walk out and listen to the mains, you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, that is all treble. Yeah. You know, and it just sounds like
it's rough.
Yeah.
One thing I found out the hard way is tilting your amp to the side can be a good solution unless the side that you tilt it to is facing the bass player.
Yeah.
Or if you're mad at the bass player, it could be a good solution.
What is that? I had a Vibraverb one time I played a show with, and that's only 40. I mean, what's the super? The super is 60?
Yeah, I think the one I have is 60. I think they make it like 40 in general. But.
So this was a 40-watt Vibraverb, and it was a huge outdoor stage, so I figured I'd be able to crank this thing. Well, basically, I got it to 3, and it was already too loud for me even to stand in front of.
Right.
So I tilted it in, and boy, I was not popular with the guys in the band. Because, I mean, that thing, the speaker, that this was the 64 reissue they did with the Caesar Diaz mods or whatever. The speaker they put in that thing was really, really mid-rangey, like really, like, you know, so anyway, so yeah, don't tilt it towards the guys in your band
unless you don't like it.
Yeah. So did you have any kind of demos that you want to do for this to kind of demonstrate?
So like right now, probably a good thing to explain what we're running through. So that's your tele.
Decent amount of treble, but we should point out that you're hearing it mic'd through a microphone,
right?
We are sitting about 4 or 5 feet from it, and we're kind of seated. If we were at a gig, our ears would be even higher, right. So that's even here, just sitting here, it sounds a little
bit. If
bright.
We're at a small gig, yeah, it'd be much closer.
Yeah. So what we said that we'd try and do is Brian's going to go back there and he's going to fool with the EQ of the amp so that it sounds good to him standing in front of the amp. So forget what it sounds like to us out here. He's going to EQ it so it sounds good to him. And you guys are going to hear that through the mic. So this is essentially a comparison of what would be going to the PA system,
right,
at a club.
Right.
Because as we talked about before, not only are you, you know, kind of screwing with the people in the front rows who are standing right in front of the amp, mm-hmm, but you're also kind of affecting what the PA is picking up. Mm-hmm. So he's going to EQ it first to have it sound good there, so you'll hear what that sounds like.
And then another thing we also didn't really address is that if you're playing a 4-hour gig, by that fourth set, your ears are fatigued, and you're turning up your presence, and you're turning up your treble.
Yep. Yeah. So then what he's going to do is he's going to get a little bit lower, and he's going to adjust it, kind of like what the viewer said in the email. He's going to adjust it so that it sounds good when he's closer in front of the speaker. And you guys are going to hear what a large difference that makes in terms of the tone that comes through the microphone. So that'll give you some idea how much variance you can have just in how you EQ your amp based on where you're standing.
Well, I was thinking, like right now, I've put the mic in a position that sounds, you know, fairly decent for that amp.
Yep.
So it's off to the side a lot more. Like, it's nowhere near the center of that speaker.
Yeah, it is. That's a one by single 12.
That's a single 12. Yeah, and that's just a ribbon mic.
Yep. Yeah.
Just an MXL ribbon mic. Ribbon mic. But so right now I actually have it set to where it sounds, you know, pretty decent right now where it's at.
Yeah.
But if I walk back there, it sounds real muffled.
Exactly. So you go back there and you adjust the treble on the amp, just like what the guy wrote. Adjust the treble so that you standing right there, it sounds bright enough.
Right, right.
And I'll just pretend that I'm not dying.
Are you distorting?
Well, let's start with clean.
Okay.
And then you EQ it for clean.
Okay, so right there sounds, when I'm above it like that, yeah, sounds about like it does. Like it. Yeah. Now, it's really bright.
Yeah. Would you say uncomfortably bright?
That's an understatement.
How about you, Max? But how about when they switch to the bridge pickup here? In the ear. You ever get that thing in your ear where it sounds like the inside of your ear is kind of like vibrating a little bit?
Just getting a root canal.
I might want to get that checked. All right, so that is essentially, you know, what we're experiencing now is more or less what somebody in the crowd would be experiencing if they were sitting in front of the amp.
Yep.
So now, I don't know if you kind of got to get down lower, but EQ that to where I can play normally and it's not ear-shattering to you treble-wise.
Sure.
Nicer up here.
So yeah, but I mean, now it's,
yeah, there's no sparkle to it. Essentially, that brings us right back to what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. When he adjusts the controls so that the people in the crowd aren't complaining, it sounds like all the life has been sucked out of his tone. And right. So that's essentially what we're hearing right here, and probably what you guys are hearing on the recording.
Right.
Because this is what the sound, this is the difference in tone that the sound man would be getting back at the board. Mm-hmm. Based on where you stand when you EQ your amp.
Right.
What's the moral of the story here? What's our takeaway for this guy?
Well, the big question is, how I'd fix it is I would fix it for the, I've done it both ways. I've done it where it says, where it sounds good where I'm at, and just moved it so it's not killing it, yeah. You like try to kind of.
That's option one: is move the amp so that it's not pointed at somebody. Right. So then you can EQ away to your heart's delight, and hopefully it'll sound good to everyone.
In a perfect world, like the few times that I do go to like Broadway, like Nashville or something, and play where there's some sort of decent monitoring system,
yeah,
not, you know, like $300 PA system somewhere. then I'm working off the monitors more than anything because they use a lot of shields.
Yeah.
So you don't really hear a lot, and you hear some of the amp, mm-hmm, but most of what you're hearing is in the monitor.
That whole idea about good monitoring capabilities, that's really kind of hit or miss depending on where you're playing, I would think. Mm-hmm. You know, Max, when you go out and you play places, how much control do you always have over the PA system that's at the place?
I mean, especially at my level of playing, I'm usually bringing the PA, so I have quite a bit of control over it. Right. But if I'm playing a place that has house, I'm kind of at their mercy. You just kind of hope to have a good rapport with the guy and hope they don't screw you.
You ever take your wireless back there and just sound check? Be like, no, turn some of that treble down.
Wireless?
Right there,
yeah.
Your wireless guitar.
I'm not familiar with that term.
your 100-foot guitar.
Yes.
But no, whether or not they have good monitoring, that really affects kind of what your options are. Mm-hmm. Because let's say you either don't have the option to put your guitar through the monitors, or they have monitors, but for whatever reason, they don't have the capabilities of doing that. So,
right.
Your only options at that point are really to kind of tilt the amp so it's not pointing at you and it's not pointing at the crowd. That way you can get a tone that sounds good.
Yeah.
But if you have the capability of getting a good enough monitoring level, then that really opens up your options. Now you could put a shield up. Now you could, if it's a big venue, and you can turn your amp around backwards. Basically, if you do something too drastic with blocking it or turning it, you're going to lose enough of the life out of your tone from where you're standing that it's going to distract you while you're playing.
Yeah.
And that's where the miking it and having the sound guy put it through the monitors can really help.
I will say the thing I hate the most is putting it on an amp stand. Oh. I hate that it takes all the bottom end out of it completely.
Yeah. It can take a huge sounding amp and make it sound like a little itty bitty thing. And it's like, I don't know why people think that is so great. Like, oh, it totally isolates it from the stage. I'm like,
Don't.
Well, I don't know why. Why is that a good thing? Yeah. No, the one thing that amp stands are good for is like in your studio, keeping your amps off the ground so you can vacuum underneath them.
Hold your pizza box.
That's really what they're good for.
That is, yeah. But that's true.
But no, I used to know a guy who, when he played, he had his amp. Not even just. I mean, it was like a rack, and it like would put it within 2 feet of his head. Mm-hmm. And he managed. I mean, he could do it, but I couldn't. Like, I like the sound of my amp back there, he's blasting off the back wall of the club, you know, so that the sound fills up the room. But,
yeah. I mean, the last place I played was, I think it was about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. And it actually was a VFW, believe it or not. Beautiful Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah.
And it actually had a bigger stage than, like, the VFW here in town in Martinsville. The stage is about the size of this rug. So, okay. Yeah, so it's like 8x10.
And so this was just you, correct, or was there other instruments?
No, there was a whole bit, yeah. So so at this Bloomington.
Well, that's a neat trick.
It was a little bigger, yeah. And what I actually did then, it wasn't a gigantic stage, but I propped it up just a little bit. Like, okay. Take back just a little bit. Not like at a 45.
So that goes over the heads.
Just barely over the heads. Yeah. I mean, kind of like. Like, you know what I mean?
It doesn't take much. As long as you get out of that direct beam, you know, 15, 20 degrees over.
And one thing I do. I get in front of the mains and actually listen to the guitar coming out. And that way I'm like, all right, we need to fiddle with the EQ a little bit. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, there's just really no great way in that situation unless you got cash to spend on a great sound system.
That is true. So positioning is like the cheap way of solving the problem, but it can be hard because most amp stands, they kind of want to
just don't use.
They want to angle them up at you too far. So what I've done, you know, when I used to play in church, is just do it the cheap way. You just move it far enough away from the wall that when you lean it back against the wall, it's not pointing straight out, and it's also not pointing up at your ears. Mm-hmm. So
if you're thinking about using an amp stand, call us. We'll talk you off the ledge. You don't need. Just don't do this to yourself or your band or your audience. Yeah.
So, a common question we get is about how to set up a clean tone. Whether it's a customer asking us how they should set up a clean tone or how I set up a clean tone, I'm sure you probably get tons of people, with the Texas Blues Alley stuff you're doing, asking about, you know, how to set up a clean tone. Max, I know you get tons of questions about it. So
he loves it. I mean, you got any questions about setting up your amp, Max at Wampler
Pedals. In fact, just for fun, just send an email to Max at Wampler Pedals and ask them how to set up a clean tone. Yeah. So, we've talked about this. We all kind of approach it totally differently. So why don't you explain first? We'll kind of pass a guitar along
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Brian go back there. We're using a Fender Hot Rod Deluxe, which you know Brian's a huge fan of. The clean channel. And I'm going to have him switch between clean and dirty. And so what I've done is I've kind of preset those so I don't have to mess with that. And the question that was asked centered not just around clean, but how do you set up an amp's clean tone to accommodate pedals? And so that's kind of how I'm going to be approaching this, is that my goal is to be able to use my pedals and sound good. So let's switch places here.
Sure.
And let me talk about how I usually go about doing this. So if I'm going to be playing... Any
seats warm?
Yeah.
Wow.
I run a little hot.
Need an air conditioner on my seat.
So whenever I'm playing a show or playing more than a couple songs in a row where I have the luxury of having pedals, the first thing that I want to do is establish what's going to be my bass tone. This is the tone that I retreat to for 90% of my playing for rhythm. It's usually not a really clean tone because if I'm doing more of the Texas blues, kind of Stevie Ray Vaughan-ish kind of thing. He didn't use a purely clean tone that often. So here is the Hot Rod Deluxe, perfectly clean. So for me, for what I play, that would not be what I'd consider a usable tone for typical upbeat blues rhythm type stuff. So can I have you switch that to the overdrive channel now? Even though the overdrive channel of the Hot Rod Deluxe isn't great, if you were stuck using that amp, this is kind of a good example of how I go about doing it. So I'd get it set up for not too much dirt, just enough so that if you were, kind of the benchmark I use is if you could comfortably, comfortably play the rhythm to a song like Pride and Joy without feeling like you're losing too much energy, that's a good amount of grit. Okay, so that's a decent amount of grit. If you back off your attack a little bit, you can kind of get a clean tone. So what I would do then is once I have that bass, somewhat dirty tone established, the next thing that I'd do is say, what's my first level of boost? So what I'm going to use here is just the boost side of the Plexidrive Deluxe, because that's what we have on here. And I would set that for a tiny volume boost, but mostly a sustained boost. So this would probably be too much of a volume jump for me. Because the problem you get into is that if your volume jumps too much when you kick on your pedals, then the sound man turns you down. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to your regular tone, and now you're out of the mix. And if you're like the sound man that I had the unfortunate experience of using in the past, you never come back from that.
Right.
He's a set it and forget it. So he'll adjust it when you get too loud, but he won't fix it when you get too quiet. So then what I would have is... And so that would be usable for 90% of what I do. Sometimes I would stack another overdrive on top of that to just give me a little bit more sustain. But that would be how I set up an amp for use with pedals. But because we're using a two-channel amp here, I still have the clean channel, if you want to switch back to that, that I can kind of, you know, back off a little bit more to the clean. I would use the clean tone as kind of something that I only use for playing ballads. But that's a kind of a rare thing. I'd mainly use the slightly overdriven tone as my bass tone. Now, as kind of a compare and contrast, what I was playing before was the overdrive channel with a little boost. I could kind of get a slightly different tone by using the gain section of the Plexidrive. A little too much volume there. Let's compare this. So I could kind of use this as kind of an alternate overdriven bass tone. So now this is the Plexidrive, the gain side, going into the clean channel of the Hot Rod Deluxe. All right, now one more switch back to the overdrive channel of the amp so I can compare those. So this versus... So you can hear the overdrive channel of the amp is a little bit thinner than what you get with... But the point is, I would have the completely clean tone. Mm-hmm. I would have the overdrive channel by itself. I would have the overdrive channel plus that boost. I would also have the clean channel plus the gain side of the Plexidrive. Mm-hmm. And the clean channel plus the gain side of the Plexidrive plus the boost. So I'd have a bunch of different tones just with that one amp and this one pedal. And so that's kind of how I would go about setting it up.
Now, would you put an EQ pedal in the loop to make that dirt channel not suck?
If I had an EQ pedal and I had enough cables, then I probably would. But sometimes when you're, you know, depending on where you're going to play and backline provided, you don't know what you're going to get, right? You know? And so you show up and it's a Fender Twin without a gain channel, you know. Yes. So in that case, you better have a good amp in the box pedal or a good distortion pedal or something. So let me pass it off to one of you guys.
Okay, so talk about the total opposite.
So I'll go back. Should I switch it to clean again?
Yeah, to get it off that, what they call it a drive channel, I think. I call it a suck channel.
It's kind of a clean appreciation channel because it makes you appreciate the clean channel.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't like it. I don't like it. Bad. It's the first time I played the guitar, so.
You want me to grab you a different one?
No. Let's use the same guitar just for purity's sake. See, so right now I'm thinking I'm way too bright. So right now I'm going ahead and changing the EQ for myself. Okay, so I nudged the treble down, I nudged the presence down.
Would you say you go for a warmer clean tone or a brighter clean tone?
A warmer clean tone, because I'm, like, rather than finding a clean tone and setting my pedals to it, I kind of have my pedals and set my clean tone.
Right.
So, like,
what? So if there's like, sparkle to be added, you want to be able to maximize the amount of sparkle you can add from the pedal, as opposed to having the amp so bright that you have to dial back the sparkle and treble.
Because 98% of the time, I'm not going to play clean.
Gotcha.
Most of the time, I'll be going through a dirt pedal of some sort.
Gotcha.
So, for example,
I wouldn't have guessed that you could get that tone from that amp and that pedal, but that's just good because I've always been setting it up the way that I, you know, I think about tone, and you've got a completely different.
It's approach. So I said it totally different. So if I, my clean tone, so not super sparkly,
yeah,
just kind of neutral, I guess.
Yeah, you go neutral-ish. For a, you know, a very plain, comfortable clean tone, because you're setting that up as the platform to optimize the sound of your pedal.
Right. So if I want a clean tone,
so the,
just
the,
a little
the
bit
amp,
of dirt.
The amp is not, I think what it comes down to is that with when it comes to playing through different amps that you're not used to, it's really the gain channel that is kind of the outlier that you can't really count on. Because any amp, you can get a pretty neutral clean tone. Mm-hmm. Would that be safe to
say?
Absolutely. Well, hold on. There's an AC30 behind you.
Okay. Well, so yeah, that's it's very chimey.
That's Chime City pretty much wherever you set it. I mean, you can get a little dull with the top cut. But dull is not a good word. But it's still very boxy. So
yes.
I find those amps can be a little finicky with the pedals.
But like a Fender, a Marshall, or a...
Pretty much. I mean, if you're using a Fender, leave the bright switch off.
Yeah.
If you're using a Vox, leave the bright switch off.
Yeah. Or leave it at home.
Yeah. If you're using an amp with a bright switch, leave it off. I mean, that's my personal preference as far as dirt pedals go. I just, I hear a lot of people talk about how certain dirt pedal with a certain amp is raspy or, may have this weird high harmonic.
Yeah.
I'm like...
It might be because of how you're setting the amp.
Yeah. So
you kind of set that amp for a plain vanilla, kind of even neutral clean tone, and then you let the pedal sound the way that it's going to sound. And that is almost a better way to get more predictable results, depending on no matter which amp you're using. Because if you can find that neutral setting in any amp, now you know what your pedal's going to sound like, more or less.
Yep.
Very cool.
So, all right, Max. I'll stand back by the amp and you tell me what to tweak.
Oh no.
You may set it up sort of like what Anthony had here?
Yeah.
Now, Max, you play a lot of reggae, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm more into ska and punk rock.
Okay. I was going to say a little bit of polka on the side, maybe.
So you don't actually like play then?
No, I'm like the mighty Boss Tones. I just dance. It's my job. Wave the flag. So I'm kind of a combination of the two, really. If I'm familiar with the amp, or it's a low wattage amp, I'll try to crank the amp up so it's on just on the verge of breakup. And then I'll add a tube screamer tone to it.
I was going to say, do you want to throw a tube screamer on here?
Yeah, if that's cool.
Yeah. So let me grab a tube screamer.
Okay. Yeah, I usually run two tube screamers.
2 seconds.
If you had two, we could just run them right in circuit. So I'm kind of right in the middle on between these two guys of how I set it up. If I already have an amp, I know it's going to break up. I'll start setting the amp up, so it's just on the verge of breakup. Then I'll boost it with a series of light overdrives. If it's an amp I'm unfamiliar with, or I just can't get dirty, or it does get dirty and that dirty tone sucks, I'll just have it stock clean as I can possibly get it. Then I'll stick a tube screamer, just pretty much all the controls straight up and down, just so it's kind of a light overdrive, like... Just right on the verge.
So which one do you have
just,
on?
That's just the...
Yeah, right now I have just the first 808 on.
So you put the first one in the signal chain on first.
First, correct.
Oh, okay. a topic for another video.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting.
So
okay.
Are you EQing the amp for the sound that you want with the tube screamer on?
Yeah, if I can't get a good sound of the amp, I'll set it clean. Then I'll set up my tube screamer, then I'll adjust the amp accordingly.
Okay.
So like right now, do I need to change anything for what?
No, we're good. Yeah, it's clean, totally clean. It's
basically the same tone that Brian had when he was doing it. So if basically what you're saying is, if you can't get a good overdrive sound of the amp, you approach it kind of like Brian, and that you set the amp for kind of neutral.
I actually, whenever before we switched, I actually went back and increased the treble just a little bit.
Okay.
To noonish across everything.
And that's pretty much what I do. I play with Tortex picks too, which kind of have mid-rangey anyways.
You know, a turtle died for that.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I'll kill 1,000 more turtles for these.
But if he knew how good your tone was,
he'd be happy.
He would have made the same choice.
He'd be happy. But yes, that's kind of my approach. So just on the verge of breakup, everything kind of at noon. I have a lighter pick attack anyways. If I'd really dig in, it'll break up more. So I'll do that. And then if I want to boost it for my lead tone, I'll actually use another tube screamer. Here I'm using the TS-10. Fat fingers. It's kind of that scoot mid-range feel. For me, it works really well. I play a Super Reverb normally most of the time, or a Blues Junior.
So that pairs perfectly with something like that.
Yeah, with the Strat on the neck pickup, the way God intended. It sounds great.
I think we have the title for the show, As God Intended.
So that's kind of, I set up, it's kind of in the middle. If I can, I always want to crank up my amp first and set up my amp first, then adjust my pedals accordingly. Yeah. But if not, I know what a tube screamer sounds like. It's my safety blanket.
So your bass tone then, the tone that you're kind of home base, the tone that you retreat to for most of your rhythm playing would be the clean kind of neutral sounding amp, maybe a little brighter than what Brian would set it for. But then with a tube screamer, all the knobs up, just giving you a little bit of that tubey sound.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then another pedal after that for boost.
Very honky.
Yeah. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't use that term.
I was going to say, I got to be racist.
Very mid-rangey.
Cool.
Yeah.
So three different approaches to using the same, you know, the same amp. Very cool.
All right, thanks for watching this episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast. If you have any questions, make sure you comment below if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening to this on in your car, for example, a podcast, the audio podcast, just email us at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. I'm Brian for Max and Anthony from Texas Blues Alley. Thanks for watching.